Hello, I'm Steve Burai, president of Discovery Institute, and I'd like to alert you to a special offer about an upcoming book on the fossil record and what it really shows. The book is Darwin's Doubt, The Explosive Origin of Animal Life and the Case for Intelligent Design. It's written by leading intelligent design theorist Stephen Meyer, who directs Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Darwin's Doubt won't be out until June, but right now you can pre-order the book at darwinsdoubt.com for an incredible 43% off the list price, plus free shipping. In addition, just for pre-ordering, you will get four complete digital books, including one on science and human origins. This is a limited-time offer at darwinsdoubt.com. If you want to save big on Darwin's Doubt, you can pre-order the book right now at darwinsdoubt.com. Once again, that's darwinsdoubt.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today, I'd like to talk about why science censorship is bad for evolution education. Growing up in Los Angeles, I attended a large inner-city public high school that was rich in diversity. Unfortunately, there was one area this diversity did not reach, and that was the biology classroom. There I was told there was one and only one acceptable perspective regarding origins, Darwinian evolution. Today, a former public high school student from the other LA, Louisiana, is seeking to restrict intellectual diversity in what students learn about evolution. Specifically, Zach Copland, now a history major at Rice University, is appearing on talk shows arguing that students should only be taught the evidence supporting evolution and that scientific critiques of neo-Darwinian theory should be excluded from the classroom. Now, by all accounts, Mr. Copland is an enthusiastic and articulate student. It's no surprise that the Louisiana Darwin Lobby is pitching him as their would-be media spokesperson. Using their standard talking points, Mr. Copland says he's fighting against science denial. In actuality, he's joined a movement which advocates science censorship. Of course, the case for modern Darwinian theory should be taught in public schools. But there's also much credible scientific dissent which deserves to be heard. Over 800 PhD scientists have signed a statement declaring they are, quote, skeptical of claims for the ability of random mutation and natural selection to account for the complexity of life, unquote. Moreover, the technical literature is full of peer-reviewed papers which challenge core tenets of neo-Darwinian evolution. A 2011 article in Biological Theory questioned the creative power of natural selection and concluded that, quote, Darwinism in its current scientific incarnation has pretty much reached the end of its rope, unquote. A paper last year in Annual Review of Genetics challenged the common ancestry of all life forms, arguing that, quote, life might indeed have multiple origins, unquote. Also in 2012, the noted atheist philosopher Thomas Nagel argued in an Oxford University Press book that, quote, the materialist neo-Darwinian conception of nature is almost certainly false, unquote. If scientists and scholars debate these fundamental evolutionary claims, why must students be taught that they are unadulterated fact? So what about Zach Copland? Well, passionate though he may be, this is not about Mr. Copland. It's about whether students will receive excellence in science education or whether they will become victims of science censorship. More directly, what's at stake is whether to repeal or retain Louisiana's Science Education Act, the LSEA, passed in 2008 by an overwhelming bipartisan majority to protect the rights of teachers who discuss both the scientific evidence for and against evolution, as well as other controversial scientific topics, without having to fear for losing their jobs. Critics like Mr. Copland have falsely claimed that the LSEA allows teachers to teach religious doctrines like creationism instead of science. Such arguments are refuted by the law's own language, which plainly states that it, quote, shall not be construed to promote any religious doctrine, unquote. More importantly, teaching the scientific controversy over evolution could help solve major problems facing science education, a lack of critical thinking skills among students, and a lack of student interest in science. Allowing students to weigh and compare evidence for and against Darwinian evolution will naturally improve their critical thinking skills. But telling them that fundamental questions about where we came from are fully settled will squash their interest in science. In contrast, informing students about these scientific debates is the perfect catalyst to inspire them to study science. I respect Zach Copland's passion, but that doesn't mean he's right. giving students full access to the best scientific information regarding our origins, not science censorship, will help solve many problems facing science education today, and also allow students to make informed decisions about their personal views on these important questions. And that's something worth being passionate about. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2013. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.